नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय दंडस्य ज्ञानांजनात्सलाखाया चक्षुरुन्मीलितांजेन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टां स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदम्बयं ददाति स्वापदन्तिकम् वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरौ श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवंश्च श्रीरूपां साग्रजातां सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं हरिजनासहितं कृष्ण चैतन्य देवं श्रीराधा कृष्ण पादां सहगणा दलिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्ण करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिकाकान्ता राधाकान्ता नमोस्तुते तप्तकाञ्चना गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रियै वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां भावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासति गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण
I offer my very sincere gratitude to all of you who have come to take your precious time to be with us at Sri Radha Gopinath Temple to celebrate Radhashtami. A day in which we meditate upon the deepest mystery buried within the vast treasure of the Vedic scriptures. According to a particular person's level of spiritual awareness and their particular inclinations, Srila Vyasadeva has compiled the Vedic literatures in such a way to elevate the consciousness of humanity. There are Puranas specifically for those who are deeply ingrained in the mode of ignorance, knowing that there's no other way to help them except to somehow try to lift them to the mode of passion. And for those in the mode of passion to somehow lift them to the mode of goodness. And for those in the mode of goodness to lift them to the transcendental plane. And on the transcendental plane, many seek to annihilate material miseries forever by losing their own material identity and realizing one's oneness with Brahman, or the all-pervading, impersonal aspect of the Absolute Truth. And then there is, for those great yogis, to understand their direct and personal connection with the Paramatma, or the Lord, who is situated within their hearts. There is Karma Kanda, Jnana Kanda, the Astanga Kanda, and then the Upasana Kanda. The path of bhakti, in which we can have direct experience of our eternal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose form is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss, and who is eternally enjoying pastimes with devotees. Generally, we are taught that the Absolute Truth is the all-great Supreme Master of all living beings. But then Vyasadeva goes into deeper mysteries. How one can enter into a spontaneous loving relationship with God, considering oneself an intimate servant or a friend on an equal level, or to love the Absolute Truth as one's old child or as a lover. The Absolute Truth is one, but that one truth, Krishna, is eternally manifested in both a male and female aspect or personalities for the purpose of exchanging love. And just as Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam is the source of all incarnations, his eternal pleasure potency, his Ladini Shakti, Srimati Radharani, is the source of all consorts and all goddesses of fortune. Srila Prabhupada explains that Srimati Radharani is the transformation of Krishna's supreme love. She is the personification of all spiritual love. And that love is so powerful that it overpowers even the all-powerful, or Krishna. To release the dormant love within our heart is only possible by the grace of the Lord's Ladini Shakti, or His pleasure potency, Srimati Radharani. She holds the key that can unlock the deepest mysteries of the soul. But it is natural, that which is most rare, most inconceivable, is often misunderstood. When you go into Air India, sometimes you see on the walls painted Rasalilas, and there's Radharani dancing. And people, oh, that is our tradition, Radha and Krishna. But a very deep subject. In order to understand the nature of Sri Radha, we must understand the nature of love. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami goes through great lengths to define what is spiritual love. And what is the love of the gopis? A relationship based on the misconception that I am this body and mind, or a relationship that is based on the concern for my enjoyment, that is called kama. A relationship that is based on the knowledge of our liberated condition, that we are eternal spirit souls beyond the ego, the intelligence, the mind, the senses, and the body. A relationship based on selfless, unconditional service, completely for the purpose of giving pleasure to the object of love. That is prema. That is love. That is the nature of the soul in its relationship with Krishna. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained Jivera Swarupoi Krishnera Nitya Das, that the soul is the eternal servant of Krishna, this is that inherent nature. This is what it means to serve on the spiritual platform. And the gopis of Vrindavan, even the greatest sannyasis like Shukadev Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Rupa Sanatan Goswamis, Raghunath Das Goswami, they have revealed to the world that the purity, the intimacy of the love of the gopis is unparalleled. Even in the spiritual world. Why? Because they have not even a tinge of desire for their own purposes. Their hearts, their bodies, their minds, their everything is absolutely and constantly dedicated to give happiness to Krishna. We read about how the gopis dress themselves very beautifully. They put on cosmetics and fragrances, and they comb their hair and put flowers. Now, in this world, so many ladies do that, and men do it in their own way also.
But the gopis, they only want to be look beautiful because Krishna will enjoy it. It's not that they want to be beautiful. It's that they know Krishna wants to enjoy their beauty. And Chaitanya Charitamrita tells us how the gopis, they make themselves so beautiful. And when Krishna sees their beauty, his beauty increases due to the happiness of seeing their beauty. And when gopis see Krishna's beauty increase because of the happiness of seeing their beauty, seeing his happiness, their beauty increases more. Because they see they're making Krishna happy by their beauty. So they want to be more beautiful. And they become more beautiful. And then Krishna becomes more beautiful. And then they become more beautiful. And Krishna becomes more beautiful. And they become more beautiful. And Krishna becomes more beautiful. And I could spend the rest of the class just going on. It goes on for eternity. Now, you may think, this must be boring. But it's not boring. It's what everybody is seeking. The reciprocation of love. Krishna's only pleasure is giving happiness to his devotees. And his devotees' only happiness is giving pleasure to Krishna. And the gopis have perfected that art to the supreme degree. Sometimes it's asked, Krishna left Vrindavan and went to Mathura and later to Dwarka. And the residents of Vrindavan, why did they stay there for over 100 years? Why? Why didn't they just move to Dwarka? They could be with Krishna every day. The reason is because they wanted to give happiness to Krishna. They knew that Krishna derived the greatest pleasure only in Vrindavan. Nowhere else does his lila compare. And Krishna promised the gopis, I will come back to enjoy Vrindavan pastimes with you. In the forests of Kadamba trees on the bank of the Yamuna, I'll be back. This is where I find the most pleasure. So for Krishna's pleasure, they remained there. They couldn't go anywhere else. We know that beautiful story where gopis are willing to suffer in hell for billions of years if by doing so they will give Krishna one moment of relief from his headache. And they don't even think about it. It's not they were calculating what it would be like. Such love is impossible in this material world. The gopis have completely spiritual bodies because they have absolutely no false egos. There's no selfishness. Everything is for Krishna. The amazing contradiction is when you have absolutely no concern for your own happiness, Krishna forces you to be happy. The gopis don't want happiness. They only want Krishna's happiness. But Krishna reciprocates with that love by giving them unlimited happiness. The happiness of giving.
Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu explains how Daruka was fanning Krishna and he was feeling ecstatic symptoms and it was causing his limbs to tremble and therefore he could not fan properly. So he was praying for his ecstatic symptoms to go away because it was interfering with how he could give pleasure to the Lord. And gopis, when they're fanning Krishna or serving Krishna in so many ways, sometimes they're in such ecstasy of love that tears flood their eyes and they can't see what they're doing for Krishna. Let these ecstasies go away. I don't want them. I only want Krishna's happiness. This is bhakti. As long as we're concerned with our own happiness, we can never really be happy. When we have no more concern for our own happiness and we repose all of our energies and our desires in Krishna's happiness, then Krishna reciprocates and showers unlimited happiness upon us. That is his selfless love. And of all the gopis, the supreme most is revealed in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 10th canto, wherein, under the Bamsibat tree on the full moon night of Sarat season, Krishna plays his flute, the fifth note, and he specifically calls through the song for the gopis to come. What a musician. We hear how beautiful this flute is and this violin and Gaurvani Prabhu's beautiful voice. Whatever we're hearing from these wonderful devotional musicians, they are being empowered by Krishna because of their sincerity. But all arts originate in their full perfection in the absolute truth. Everything is based on love. When Krishna plays his flute, the intimate love of his heart manifests through his breath into the holes of the flute and is carried by that song through the atmosphere into the ears of the gopis and then directly into their hearts where they are conquered. Lord Chaitanya explains, when Krishna plays this flute and this love of his heart is manifesting in this divine musical sound vibration, and it's personally for each gopi, when it enters into their ears, it's like a bird that makes a nest to block the ears from everything and anything else. And then that sound goes right into the heart and plunders their entire consciousness. The gopis were helpless. They left everything, their security, their families, their reputations, and they went to seek Krishna. And Krishna told them to go home. And the gopis crying, "We don't want to go home. We have come here only for you." But understand, they were only saying those things because they knew that Krishna wanted them to do so.
Krishna wanted to dance with them. So they were presenting so many arguments that we want to dance with you. And Krishna danced. And he manifested himself in between each gopi. But then it appeared that they were all becoming proud, thinking Krishna's only with me, so he disappeared. And in that feeling of separation, they were going mad, totally engrossed in Krishna. If only we could have this experience. We just go on with our lives. And the gopis, they were talking to each other. They were enacting Krishna's various pastimes with each other. They were asking the trees, the birds, the stars, the moon, where is Srinandanandana? All to give their hearts for Krishna's pleasure. Now Shukadev Goswami, he did not mention the name of any of the young gopis in the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. He mentions Yashoda and some of older gopis. But you do not, there is not a single gopi's name of the younger gopis of the Madhurya Ras. The reason? Because the love of the gopis is so great. And it gives, they give such pleasure to Krishna. That as Shukadev Goswami even once spoke any gopi's name, he was afraid he would go into a trance and not be able to continue the narration. And Parikshit Maharaj was going to die in 7 days. By the time he was in the 10th canto, there was only a few days left. So out of his compassion, he very carefully did not speak their names. But then he comes to that point where all gopis are searching for Krishna. These are the topmost, highest, most intimate transcendentalists. Those who give the most pleasure to God and who receive the greatest degree of ecstasy from God. And among them, they saw the footprints of one gopi who Krishna left everyone else to be alone with. And at that point, Shukadev Goswami, he couldn't say her name, but he almost said her name. Anyaradhito Nunam. Bhagavan Harir Ishwara. That Krishna left all of us, Govinda left all of us, for this one gopi who loves and serves Krishna with the greatest devotion. The greatest, the ultimate of all devotees. And that is Srimati Radharani. All the gopis are expansions of Radha. All love of God in every living entity's heart is part and parcel of Sri Radha's love. She is the complete, unlimited reservoir of all love. And Krishna is the complete object of all love. The pastimes of Radha and Krishna are the purest form of spiritual revelation. The highest and most intimate revelation of the Absolute Truth. As it was spoken of this morning, many deities of Krishna self-manifested
or were carved by Krishna's great-grandson, Vajranab.
And the great devotees, the Goswamis, they worshipped Radha Krishna in the form of Krishna, knowing that in the very core of Krishna's heart is Sri Radha. So when they worship the deity of Krishna, their actually great main focus is on the pleasure of Sri Radha as being an assistant to serve, to be a part of Radha's love for Krishna. And it was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers who so mercifully revealed Srimati Radharani's super excellence even to the people in general. And deities of Srimati Radharani began to be put next to the deities of Krishna. Krishna is all-knowing. He knows everything past, present, and future. He knows every living being's heart. But there's one thing that Krishna longed to know: the nature of Radha's love, the nature of his own pleasure potency. To understand the glory of Sri Radharani's love, the sweetness she realizes in experiencing his love, and what she relishes by seeing him, by tasting his qualities, Krishna descends into this world as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. To personally taste the deepest of all secrets, but also to reveal that secret and give everyone and anyone without discrimination entrance into that secret of Sri Radha's love. That is Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Parama karuna pahundui janani tai gora chandra. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda are most merciful. They have given what no other incarnations have ever given. Basu Ghosh, in his beautiful prayer, he cries, if Lord Gauranga had not come, who would have ever understood the glory of Radharani's love? What would be the purpose of my life? What would I live for? Lord Chaitanya and his true followers has revealed this great secret to us. There are many beautiful pastimes of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna that are revealed in the Puranas, in the books of great acharyas and goswamis. But what is most important is to understand the spirit of the selfless service of Sri Radha and the gopis. Because unless we enter into that spirit,
we cannot really access the great treasure of their pastimes. We must follow in the footsteps of the gopis of Vrindavan through selfless devotional service. Just turn the AC more because it's how Krishna, who is Rasa Bihari, eternally longs to taste the sweetness of Radha's love. Srila Prabhupada explains it in a very simple way, that Krishna is Madan Mohan. That means his beauty, his grace, will conquer even Cupid. That means all of the temptations of this material existence that are keeping us tightly bound. But Sri Radha is Madan Mohan Mohini, which means she conquers the conqueror of Cupid by her love. This is Vrindavan. Love is supreme. Love conquers the beloved. Sri Radha is Vrindavan Eshwari. She is the eternal queen. When Sri Radha will become angry with Krishna, and she does so only for his pleasure, then Krishna will perform so many wonderful pastimes just to show his subordination to Radha's love. Sometimes he will dance like a peacock just to make her laugh. Sometimes he will place his head and her feet and wash her lotus feet with his tears, just to break her anger. Sometimes Krishna will block the path of Sri Radha and the gopis to exact tax in the form of the clay pots filled with yogurt or ghee that are on their heads. But actually what Krishna is doing is he is begging for their love in the form of these offerings. He is dependent on the love of his devotees. That is Vrindavan. Now, Krishna's abhigya and swarat, he's all-knowing and independent. But by his own sweet will, he becomes dependent on the love of his devotees. The Harinam Sankirtan movement is the eternal pastime of Radha and Krishna in the spiritual world. Golokera Premadana Harinam Sankirtan. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna tasting the sweetness of Radha's love, has brought the eternal pastime of Nam Sankirtan from the spiritual world of Vrindavan to this world. And he's actually inviting us to engage in this spiritual pastime that is eternally being enacted
in Goloka. And when we perform Nam Sankirtan with the proper selfless service attitude that our acharyas have taught, the Lord is giving us entrance into Radha and Krishna's pastimes. Today, Dwarkadish Prabhu was explaining that when we come before Srimati Radharani, we are beggars. We are begging for that love. We are begging for that grace. When she is pleased with us through our service to Guru, service to the Vaishnavas, through our sincerity, then she could remove all the obstacles of lust and envy and anger and pride and greed and illusion and open our hearts and reveal that deep mystery of prema bhakti. Radhastami is the day when we celebrate the ultimate bestower of spiritual love. And Srila Prabhupada explains, if we are sincere, if we are serious, if we have no ulterior motives, then Srimati Radharani easily gives that love. It is interesting that the gopis, they're just simple cowherd girls. Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune, she wanted to enter into the Rasa Leela of Krishna. She performed tapasya for thousands of years for that purpose. She left Vaikuntha, but she was not allowed to cross the Yamuna to enter into the Ras Leela. She was given the benediction where she could see it. But in order to participate, she had to give up her love in Aishwarya Bhav. In other words, she had to give up her conception that she was a goddess and a queen. She had to milk cows. She had to pick up cow dung and carry it on her head. She had to go to the Yamuna and fill buckets with water and carry it on her head. Sometimes long distances. Do household chores. The simplicity of the gopis' love, even Lakshmi is longing, praying and doing tapasya to taste. But she cannot. Imagine that. Who is Lakshmi Devi? She's Radharani herself in an incarnate, in a expanded form. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his divine servant Srila Prabhupada is giving us, you and me, and all the rest of us here tonight, is giving us the opportunity to have a position that even Lakshmi can't achieve.
That is Radharani's mercy, manifesting through her form of Lord Chaitanya. When Srila Prabhupada was on the Jaladuta, he was praying to Srimati Radharani to empower him. And it is her grace. Her grace manifesting through Lord Chaitanya's heart. Lord Chaitanya's heart is Radharani's heart. It is her grace that empowered Srila Prabhupada to give us the greatest of all treasures, access to the deepest of all mysteries, the highest essence and perfection of all spiritual knowledge. On Radhastami, we express our gratitude by begging for the chance to serve, begging for the chance to chant the holy names of the Lord, to hear the glories of the Lord in that spirit of pure and selfless service. It is the age of quarrel and hypocrisy, and all quarrel and all hypocrisy is due to selfish motivations. Trinadapi sunichina taror iva sehishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us such a simple and powerful cure to all the ills and sufferings of Kali. If we can just chant the holy name in this humble state of mind, selfless servitude, following in the footsteps of the gopis, there can be no real quarrel. And even if there is quarrel, it's only to enhance the experience of our love. In this world, quarrel enhances our dislike, our envy, our repulsion. In the spiritual world, quarrel only increases the unity of our hearts by giving dynamic energy to our love for Krishna and for each other. Sometimes Lord Nityananda and Advaita would fight. They would throw rice on each other. They would call each other very bad names. And Vrindavan Das Thakur explains, anyone who takes the side of two Vaishnavas who fight and offends the other, they will fall down. He explains, these quarrels are simply expressions of their love for each other. Now, I don't know what it's like between husband and wife. But it's definitely not like that in this world. But on the spiritual platform, where there is Trinadapi Sunichena Taror Iba Sehishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahadi, where we focus on the chanting of the holy name in this spirit of selfless, unconditional service for the pleasure of Krishna, for the pleasure of the Vaishnavas, for the pleasure of all living beings. Then the type of quarrel and hypocrisy that divides us ceases to exist. Today's world is full of conflict because our hearts are so full of conflict, because we have so many ulterior motives and so many selfish desires. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srimati Radharani has given us this gift to rise above all of these superficial disagreements and to unite on the basis of selfless, humble servitude. And when we chant the holy names in that spirit, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains, then the entire spiritual world is revealed to us from within our hearts. So on this day, let us pray. Let us pray to Sri Radharani for deep and genuine gratitude and for these qualities that Srila Prabhupada has so mercifully emphasized. To cultivate these qualities of humility, gratitude, and selfless service to Krishna. As the top priority in every aspect of our lives. And let us pray that we beg for such selfless service as we cry out those holy names that have descended from Goloka Vrindavan to transport us to the highest perfection. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Much louder, please.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare.
Thank you very much. We will have more kirtan.